Portland is a baseball town.
Our secretary didn't have anybody on the phone.
There was nobody on the phone. They were just egging me along.
So they brought a little short, chubby guy in with the name Peters and put him in my place and sent me to double-A ball.
Two fans, one mission to bring Major League Baseball to Oregon, fueled by Guardian Games and Athletic Field Design. This is the Diamonds and Roses podcast. Without further ado, your host, Ben.
Welcome back to another episode of the Diamonds and Roses podcast. As always, I am your host, Ben. Dave is unavailable today as he is out at his son's middle school graduation. And I'm here at the Portland Diamond Project Clubhouse with other than Jen Breel.
Burley.
Yes. Oh, Burley. I knew I was going to kill that name. I was worried about it when I came over here. But Jen is joining us for our 50th episode, so we are ecstatic to have her on. It's a great day, and always it's a great day to have MLB to PDX, and hopefully we won't be having to say that too much longer because MLB will be here in PDX. But Jen, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be a part of the 50th episode.
Yes. So before we get into our episode, I have two children. I have a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. So a 6-year-old has this little comic book, not a comic book, but a book of jokes. And so he's like, "Are you going to do a podcast, Daddy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to go record today." And he's like, "All right." He's like, "Can you ask this, tell this joke?" And I'm like, "Okay." So he wanted me to let you know. He said, "Why did the baseball player go to jail?"
Ooh, I haven't heard that joke. That's a new one. Why?
Because he stole second base.
Oh, that's okay. I should have known that.
So, anyways.
That's cute.
My 6-year-old wanted me to tell that joke, so I figured I'd tell it. We like to tell something a little funny at the beginning.
Love it. Thank you.
So, without further ado, thank you, Jen, again, for coming on. We're going to talk a little bit about Jen's history at first, and she is a Jesuit High alumni. She also is a University of Oregon alumnus, yes. And she's got some really interesting history as far as background and what she's done to this date, and she could probably school me all on this media stuff, but without further ado, Jen, so talk to us a little bit about your background as an athlete.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a football household. Since day one, so my dad's a football coach, and we lived down in the Bay Area. And before I was due on the same day of his first head coaching job in high school, so
oh, really?
It was like a big thing, like if he was going to go to the game or be there for my birth. Luckily, I was born the day after, but sports have always, I guess, been in my DNA. He then took a job at Portland State. And we're right across from that old football stadium right here, right now. And I spent a lot of days watching games, watching the Vikings growing up. But that's how we ended up in Portland. And yeah, I've just been around sports my whole life. I played absolutely everything and anything that I could. And ended up sticking with volleyball and basketball in high school. Was lucky enough to play for Kathy Adelman at Jesuit. And had the most fantastic time playing for her there. Actually, funny, my senior year, her dad, Rick Adelman, was in between jobs, I think, with the Kings and the Rockets. So he was like our assistant coach that year, my uh-huh. senior season. So just got an amazing, valuable basketball experience from them. And then went on to play at Chapman University my freshman year before transferring to Oregon. And graduated from University of Oregon in 2011.
Yeah. So I read a little bit about you, and it said that you were captain of your basketball team at one point.
Yes, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what that, you know, what led to that, and maybe that leadership opportunity that you had while being captain of your
team.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously it was such an honor, and I don't know, basketball is always my number one love, and I'm still, you know, really close friends with a lot of the girls on the team. I've been in two of their weddings and whatnot. But yeah, it was such a huge honor. And, you know, those teams, it's so funny thinking back, I haven't, you know, to those playing days. But oh, those are some of my favorite years. And we all keep in touch a lot. Even our coach Kathy, and you know, she's coaching over at Beaverton High School now. Mm-hmm. She's going to have three girls, I think, on the varsity team next year. Her three daughters.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so definitely want to make it over to a game then. But yeah, that was really special. We came, we were finished runner up at state. Fell to Southridge. They were a powerhouse back then. I don't think when. Yeah, we won league, so we beat them twice mm-hmm. in league play and then lost them in the state championship. But when we beat them in league, they hadn't lost to a team in the state of Oregon in like 5 years or something wow. like that. So
would you say that's your most memorable yeah, moment? Yeah,
definitely. Oh, for sure. Those two games that we beat them, that was awesome. And then mm-hmm. they say it's hard to beat a team three times. Yeah. So that's what ended up happening. But oh gosh, it was amazing. And yeah, great memories for sure.
Wow, yeah. Those are pretty cool. I mean, and like I was looking at your, you know, for basketball and you being a captain, and so I thought that was really, really interesting, and just that early leadership opportunity that provided to you or presented you, and you know how you kind of just ran with it at that mm-hmm. point. So I thought that was really cool. And then, so you ended up becoming a sports intern at KVAL TV.
Yeah, at KVAL. So when I transferred to Oregon. I interned at KVAL, I think my sophomore year. I always did free internships anywhere and everywhere I could. I mean, that industry is really tough to crack and to get into. There's so many limited jobs, and mm-hmm. the landscape has just changed drastically, especially during that time, and still now it's really evolving. So yeah, I was at KVAL for a while. I interned for John Canzano at 750 The Game as well, mm-hmm. and it was at 1080 for a little bit, and graduated in with a news broadcast major in 2011 from Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Why news broadcast? Yeah. I mean, tell us. Yeah. I mean, I want to know, like, you know, you did this internship, but what really got you wanting to go into that field of media?
Yeah, I was always really passionate about journalism. Those were, and you know, my English and literature classes were always really were more of strengths of mine growing up throughout school. And yeah, if I obviously I'm sports obsessed too, and I was like, hey, if I mm-hmm. could combine the two, that would be really fun. So yeah, that's what ended up happening. And it's interesting, once I graduated from Oregon in June, a couple weeks later, I was supposed to go with two girlfriends on a trip to Europe for like mm-hmm. a month and a half. And we were gonna go backpacking and all these things. And I wasn't applying for jobs at that time, but NBC Sports Northwest, they were Comcast Sportsnet at the time. They reached out to me and they found me on Twitter, and they said, hey, like, we have this opening. We're creating this new job for an Oregon Ducks correspondent down in Eugene. We'd love to have you interview and do some screen testing. And ended up going really well. But mm-hmm. They gave me the job offer 3 days. I was supposed to leave for Europe. And so canceled the trip and, yeah, started working there. So that was my first job.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a really good experience and something I'm, you know, really grateful for.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your time at Oregon. I mean, mm-hmm. you got to witness some really good, interesting football times
yes,
while you were there.
For sure.
The Chip Kelly era.
Chip Kelly era. They went to the national championship my senior year.
Yeah, and you got to, at least what I read is you got to be there at the Rose Bowl the first time since they won since 1917.
Yes, well, actually it was their first Rose Bowl mm-hmm. appearance was my junior year. And then I think they went to the national championship the following year.
Yeah.
It all blurs when you're a student and then you're covering the team right away mm-hmm. after that. So then my first year covering the team after college, they won that Rose Bowl mm-hmm. with DeAnthony Thomas and
was it like
Darren
the
Thomas
James?
And Michael James yep. and DeAnthony ran back that kick return for like 95 yards. I think mm-hmm. it was a Rose Bowl record at the time. So that was my first Rose Bowl or first bowl game that I got to work was the one that they won, and that was just incredible.
What was that? I mean, you say it's incredible. Like, what was it like? Were you on the sideline? I mean,
yes,
were you up?
I was down on the. I was down on the field pregame, and then during the game, I was in the press box, and then I think for the last quarter, I was down on the field. And gosh, it was just it was really memorable. I remember being down on the sideline with a coworker of mine at the time, Jordan Kent, who now works for the Trailblazers. But it was amazing to see all the alumni, just like how much that meant to them, and how, you know, just everybody. It was incredible. That atmosphere, there's nothing like it. I've been in a lot of stadiums, and that's by far the best. So
it's really amazing. I remember the time, I can't remember what year specifically it was, but I remember when the Duck beat the Houston Cougars
on the sideline. Yes.
I was at that game.
The Duck is the best. Yes. Oh my gosh. Whenever I was down there on the sideline, you could always count on the Duck finding you and wanting to take a selfie or something like that. So the Duck's the best. Yeah.
Who was one player, it could be any sport while you're at Oregon, was the most interesting and the best to interview while you were there?
Ooh, good. Gosh, I haven't thought about that in a while. Best to interview, DeAnthony Thomas was always really interesting. You never knew what he was going to say. I don't know. It was kind of interesting. Back in that time, like, Chip Kelly was pretty strict about, you know, the media and, you know, letting his players talk or whatnot. And so I feel like when you got to talk to the younger players, you know, they kind of let things slip a little bit, and then they, I don't know, wisen up. But, who else was really interesting to interview? That's a good question.
Did you get an opportunity to interview LaMichael James?
All those guys. Mm-hmm. LaMichael was great. You know, he was a pro. So was Kenyon Barner, and
they had a great backfield at that time. Between him and Kenyon.
No, they were
amazing.
They're unstoppable, and no one had really seen an offense like that back then, so it was just pretty amazing to watch. I remember one of my favorite moments, though, was track and field, covering the Olympic trials. Mm-hmm. And they were there, I believe this was 2012. It was in Eugene and at Hayward Field, which is now under construction, but they were honoring the 100 years of the decathlon. So they had all former decathletes who had ever held a U.S. record there present, or their, you know, someone from their family if they had passed.
Whoa.
And gosh, I remember it was a huge celebration all day. Like, Bruce Jenner at the time was there, and like Keeping Up with Kardashians camera crew was there, and all this thing. It's a really big deal. But Ashton Eaton was competing, and former Duck, grew up from Bend and competing in his Oregon uniform. I believe he was a senior at the time. Maybe he had graduated. I don't know. But he broke the world record for the decathlon in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just celebrating the decathlon, like the whole trials. And it was just pretty amazing. He broke the record on the final event. I believe it was the 400. But that was amazing to see. It had been raining all day. Mm-hmm. And for that last event, like, the sun started coming out, and it was incredible. That was one of my favorite memories. Yeah, it was just like really wild to mm-hmm. be there for that and experience that. And if anybody's ever been to a track meet at Oregon, it's just one of the best experiences. The fans are so well educated, mm-hmm. and they, you know, are cheering so, like, as loud as they would at a football game. And it's just really nice to, you know, see the athletes be recognized in that way and have a, you know, fun place to run. You know, not only the Oregon athletes like to compete there, but everyone mm-hmm. does, just because it's such an amazing place. So
what was it about the Oregon program as far as media,
as
opposed to any of the other schools, that you may have looked at when you're wanting to decide where I want to go to pursue my degree?
Yeah. So I had known that I wanted to do broadcasting, and Chapman down in Orange County, that's where I went my freshman year, has a fantastic film school. Like, they're renowned. It was amazing. But I remember leaving my freshman year and just kind of feeling like the school is just a little small for my liking. And I didn't even know after I left my freshman year if I was going to come back or not, but I had actually my first internship at KPTV here in Portland, and mm-hmm. Asking the sports director there, Matt Smith at the time, does it matter if I go to this really expensive fancy private school, or what about Oregon? And he was like, oh my gosh, Jen, like, Oregon's an amazing journalism school. You'd be totally fine there. Like, I think you'd be so happy there. And, you know, so it all ended up working out, and so glad that it did. And yeah, I'm really grateful for my time there.
Yeah, I get to say that you probably got a really good experience between the different levels of sports that you got to cover.
Yeah.
Like while there, between basketball, football, and you know, the decathlon, covering track and field,
one of the best in the country. Baseball. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, was it at this point that baseball started back up again at U of O?
Yes. I think, they came back maybe my sophomore year.
So that was a big thing because they hadn't been there for some years.
No, and they hadn't. And that was a really big deal. I remember because Alex Cudell, who also went to Jesuit with me, he was the grade below. He was in their first class of recruits there. Mm. So I think he was like one of the first guys to go all the way through. And his senior year, I believe he won Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year. And he basically pretty much walked on there, you know? So that was pretty amazing to see because obviously the Pac-12 is amazing at baseball and they have so many great pitchers. And so I remember that was really exciting to see.
Interesting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're covering baseball, but let's, because we're now talking about baseball, this is a baseball podcast. What was your earliest memory of baseball itself?
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, well, I played softball. I just always remember being out on the field. I mean, I grew up in Lake Oswego, and I had two younger brothers, and we're all really close in age, and a younger sister as well, but she wasn't as into sports. But we would always just, you know, we'd walk to the park and, you know, just be out there playing all day. Mm-hmm. You know, I joke all the time that my mom would literally lock the front door until dinner was ready. And so we would just be outside all the time.
Playing.
So, and if we didn't go to the park, we lived in a cul-de-sac and we'd draw with chalk, the bases, home base and pitcher's mound. And, you know, so we would just all be playing outside.
Who were you when you were playing? if you were out playing, you know, back then, and you're like, I am so and so, and I'm up to bat, and I'm going to hit a home run. Who are you?
It's funny. I don't remember following baseball that much at that age, but I remember knowing the names because my dad would, I don't know what you would call it back then. It was some sort of fantasy thing. He would pick players
from the baseball
newspaper. Yeah, it was back when people actually read the newspaper.
But I don't think they have the newspaper now.
I don't know. I just remember some sort of fantasy thing that my dad, so I remember all the names Gary Sheffield and whatnot. And
former Marlin.
So I just, but I would never say I'm so and so, I guess. Maybe I should. Should have. But I just remember that being a lot of fun and rain or shine, you know.
So you ever been to a professional Major League Baseball game?
I have. Grew up an Oakland A's fan because my family is all from the Bay Area. And, you know, my parents used to go to all the games and whatnot. But, gosh, probably the most memorable game I went to, it was the first year of the new Yankee Stadium. And they were playing the Red Sox. And we happened to get really good seats. I think we were 10 rows behind the Red Sox dugout, and I was interning in New York for the summer, and I think it was on a weekday, and I remember it being so late. It went to, I want to say, about 18 innings or 17 or 16, something crazy, and A-Rod hit a walk-off in whatever inning it went. Maybe it was 18, that would be way too many. I think it was about 13 or 14 innings.
Yeah.
And that was just amazing to see. That ballpark, I mean, is beautiful now, but it's just the first year that it was open. That's definitely a memory that stands out.
So you get to chalk that one up I got to go to
thinking
Yankee
to myself,
Stadium.
If this goes into one more inning, I'm not going to stay. But I'm glad we stuck it out.
I'm a Red Sox fan at heart. So, you know, I just recall Aaron Boone hitting the home run in the ALCS years ago to end the Red Sox hopes to go to the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Year. Yeah, that still sticks with me to this day.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think that was summer of 2009, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I would guess.
So that must have been a really interesting experience. Mm-hmm. And you know, just drawing from that experience, you probably could tell, like, hey, this stadium has that it totally. Factor that you couldn't just take and put somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think they call it the house that Steinbrenner built, yeah. or something like that.
Or
you could say Jeter built.
Yeah, like, that's true. That too.
So before we, you know, transition into the Portland Diamond Project and take a quick break, I got three questions mm-hmm. for you. Three fun questions to get to know a little bit more about you. They're just off the thing. So we're going to call this three questions to ask Jen. So question one, if we were on a road trip, what would you be listening to on the radio?
Ooh, specifically or genre of music?
Specifically or genre, whatever.
Definitely country music. I am a big Chris Stapleton fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to a lot of Brett Young lately because he was in concert here recently. But yeah country.
Yeah, I like Mumford & Sons.
Oh,
they're
good.
I like the new album, yeah. Dave Matthews, you can kind of find. Uh-huh. My wife and I just got tickets to go see them up north there
in
September. So that's kind of what you'd find.
Amazing.
Online. Either out of sports radio.
Okay. Yeah. Depends if there's a game on or not.
Yeah. Next question. What's the most useless talent you have?
Oh, gosh. Useless. That's a good question. I think I could think of a lot of them if I had really thought about it. Jeez. Useless talent. What would yours be?
Well, mine would be like reciting like random movie quotes.
Oh,
because like I find
that's
it's
pretty
like useless.
Good, though.
Yeah, I mean, for like I love you know Airplane.
Uh-huh.
I love reciting it. You know that there's some things I probably won't say.
Yeah,
But you know, like Airplane, Major League. I love Major League the movie, and I just love like. The part where they're on the runway and they're just like duct taping the propeller.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the guy's like, you going somewhere, Maze? He's like, yeah, about 90 feet.
Oh my gosh.
Or Serrano.
Love it.
So.
Oh gosh. We'll have to come back to that at the end. I'll have to keep thinking.
And the last question is if you were a superhero and you had one superpower, what would it be?
Ooh. Definitely. To be able to teleport.
Nice. I would want to
cut out
in
travel.
Some ways. I'm afraid of heights, afraid to death of heights, mm-hmm. but I would like want to fly.
Oh, that would be nice
then,
too.
You know, you get to get
I guess
to
I just
places.
Want to cut it out and just get there. Yeah,
exactly. All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Sick of overpriced apparel and equipment? Looking for a company who prides themselves in quality products and services? Look no further than our friends at Hit Factory Athletics. Created by a pro ball player, born purely from the love of the game, they exist to serve players and fans of the game. Take it from me, Ben. Hit Factory Athletics prides itself in quality and service. Head on over and check them out at www.hitfactoryathletics.com. That's www.hitfactoryathletics.com. At checkout, enter promo code DRPODCAST, that is DRPODCAST, and receive a 10% discount upon checkout. Join the legends with Hit Factory Athletics.
All right, and we're back here. So we're back here with Jen with Portland Diamond Project, the media manager. And we're now going to just jump in and we're going to talk to Jen a little bit about like her role with Portland Diamond Project. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, things that she's got going on right now, kind of some things that she's recently done, and maybe some things moving forward, and just, you know, some other random fun facts that maybe we can figure out while we're talking. So, again, thank you for coming on, Jen. Thank you for taking your time. So you now, so you went from the Oregonian, and you now are with the Portland Diamond Project. Talk to us a bit about that transition. Like, I know that you hadn't been working for the Oregonian for like a little bit of time, if I'm correct. And then, so, you know, who called you and just kind of like, what was that conversation like?
Yeah, actually, Craig and I started discussing the project. I think my 1 year anniversary was a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Or whatnot, and it was right around the time where they had kind of went public with everything, and it was just blowing up, you know. And so we sat down and had a meeting over at TVA Architects and just, you know, said, you know, we both kind of talked about why we thought it would be a good fit, and it just made a lot of sense. And yeah, it was, there were some other things that I was potentially going to be doing or working on, mm-hmm. but I just thought this was too good of an opportunity to turn down, and I'm really thankful that I'm here now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it, I mean, it's made a lot of sense for both of us, and there was so much, you know, media going on then, but they didn't really have anybody, you know, kind of organizing and orchestrating it. And yeah, it's been awesome. We've started our own podcast as well, and we're, you know, visible on social media every day on all three channels, Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook, and Twitter. And yeah, so it's just organically happened, and it's been really great.
Mm-hmm. What's, describe like a typical day. What's that like for you, mm-hmm. as like media manager? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, I could have like a belief. It's like, oh, I'm, you know, you're out trying to manage, making sure,
yeah.
you know, Mike's not doing anything he's not supposed to, or Craig's being more active.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's different every day, but mm-hmm. it's nice because that's kind of what I've been used to. You know, when you work in, sports or news or anything, like, no day is the same. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, that's kind of the same thing here. You know, it's, you know, I'm constantly monitoring, you know, our social media channels and posting and responding to things. And but I've also, you know, been helping a lot with brand and marketing as mm-hmm. well. You know, we opened this retail store in December, and we have a lot of new apparel, and so I work on the, you know, photo shoots and getting those up on the website, and you know, putting that out into the world, and lots of other things too. Like, I've been doing a lot of event planning. We've had a couple of big events here. We're, you know, summertime, we've got a lot of things going on. We've been at First Thursday the last couple of months. There's a lot of golf tournaments and just a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. It keeps me really busy, which is good, but there's never really a dull moment. And, you know, I'm just monitoring what other people are saying about us too, and, mm-hmm. you know, setting up interviews and just making sure everything's running smoothly. Mm-hmm. So
I got to imagine you're getting many, 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 you know, people reaching out to you on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a
good
lot.
Chunk of time. Yeah. Yeah.
Out of curiosity, how much time do you think that you're spending devoted towards either looking at responses or trying to respond to people?
Oh,
or even
a lot. I just turned that feature on my phone, like how much screen time I have. It's ridiculous, but yeah. I guess it's okay because I'm working. Mm-hmm. But responding to people, probably like 7 hours a week.
That's just quite a bit of time.
Yeah, just cause not including emails.
Because I mean, looking at last time I looked at Twitter, you had the Diamond Project had over like 12,000.
Yeah,
followers.
Over 13,000 now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
And Instagram over 14. Mm-hmm.
And from all over, not just like here in the metropolitan area or the state. I mean, from
everywhere.
Washington,
I mean,
everywhere.
I get asked all the time, about, like, can we sign the petition if we're in Pittsburgh or something like that? I'm like, of course. You mm-hmm. know, it's not just Oregon. Like, we want to, you know, showcase that everybody wants this to happen. You know, it'd be great for Major League Baseball. So that's been interesting too. Yeah.
Speaking of the petition, it's up over what, 30K?
Over 34,000.
34,000.
Yes.
And so if anybody wants to sign it, because I know there's some questions
mm-hmm.
once in a while, you get these questions, or actually more frequently than once in a while, but people always ask, like, where can I go sign? Do I have to sign in person? Can you talk to us a little bit about
that? Yeah, of course. Well, you can sign at our website, portlanddiamondproject.com, and it'll be the first thing that you see once you pull up our website. But yeah, we have this cool portable petition right here in our retail store as well. It's filling up quite nicely. This is our second one that we've done over here like this, and mm-hmm. not a lot of space yet left, but yeah, we'll be getting a new board once this one's completely full as well. But yeah, we're also planning a summer tour coming up this summer as well. We have dates locked down to go to Eugene and Corvallis, so we'll let you guys know when that is, but mm-hmm. That will be later mid-July. But yeah, you'll be able to sign it in person too with us then if you don't want to just do it online.
And so there's clearly this running list that the project's keeping, and they're using this to like show Major League Baseball about the interest
exactly
in the program. Yeah. So would you say it's really important that to help, you know, push this further along?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if we get 50,000 signatures on this, I feel like that will make a big statement in the state of Oregon and the city of Portland. You know, we also have our rewards program where mm-hmm. we encourage people, you know, if they go to this link, they can share it with their family and friends. And if they get a lot of people to sign too, they'll earn rewards through us. And actually, Russell Wilson challenged, or he said the person who gets the most signatures, he took that PDP hat off of his head and he signed it and he said, "You'll win this hat." Mm-hmm. So we have that here ready for someone when we reach that 50K mark.
Nice. Now, as a, you know, as a person who's, you know, been in this area, lived in this area, you know, what does it mean to you for, you know, Major League Baseball in this push? Because we've seen it in the past. We've seen where there's big push to get the Expos, now the Nationals, and now the Diamond Project's come along, great big push, lots of momentum. Like, what does it mean to you for Major League Baseball when it comes to Portland?
It means the world to me. Like, I you know, I feel so lucky to be working for this project and be in the position that we're in. And honestly, it's looking better and better every day that this is going to happen. But it would just mean, I know, a lot to me and everybody else on our team to make this happen. And we feel really good about that. But, you know, it's going to benefit Portland so much. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways that you could count that. You know, it's going to create so many jobs. It's going to be amazing for revenue and for infrastructure. And, you know, we picture this not only being a place where you can go and take in a game with your family and friends and, you know, be a real, you know, community effort. And, you know, I think baseball and sports brings people together. And we really see that something every, you know, when you're at a Blazer playoff game or a Timbers or Thorns games, like the sense of community in those environments, mm-hmm. that sense is so strong. And I think that's what's most important for me too, is to, you know, bring that with a whole nother pro team in Portland, would just be amazing on top of all the other benefits that it would add to the city. So
you brought up Russell Wilson about a minute or so ago. You recently were up doing a live event with Russell where he took over Twitter.
Yeah.
Took over the Twitter page for the Portland Diamond Project. Tell us a little bit about like
yeah,
that.
It was so we've been this has been in the works for a while, and I got the call on Tuesday night that he was going to be in the office after practice on Wednesday and to come up to Seattle if we could. And I was like, of course, like, we'll make this happen. So, I went up to Seattle on Wednesday, and he was amazing. Like, and anything that you hear or read about him that's positive is true. Like, he is just so infectious and so engaging and so mm-hmm. positive and just a real pleasure to work with, such a gentleman. And we're just really lucky that he's a part of our team. But yeah, so we sat down and, you know, he took over our Twitter. He was, I don't know if anybody watched on his live feed on Instagram, but he literally took my laptop and was answering the questions himself. He was very hands-on. And we went on, if you go to our Facebook page, you can watch 10 minutes of his Instagram live that we did mm-hmm. from his account, which has like over 3 million followers or whatnot. But in the middle of it, all of a sudden his wife Sierra walks in, and I had no idea if she was even in the country. So that was a fun surprise too. And
I was just gonna ask you about that because I remember watching the video and see her jumping in. And
yeah, my face was probably like, oh my gosh. Yeah,
if not big enough with, like, you know, Russell there, Sierra jumps
in.
Yeah,
right. You know. Oh gosh, she is just, she's stunning. She, and you know, Russell's so passionate about this project, but she is just as much, if not more.
Well, that's why she's invested her own money into the project.
They invested separately.
Yeah, I mean, really a lot of people don't understand mm-hmm. the fact that Russell is on his own dime and Sierra's on her own dime mm-hmm. also. And I find that great because, you know, she's showing a very large sense of responsibility and leadership. And she would be one of the minority owners as far as women mm-hmm. in involved.
I think she'd
ownership.
Be the, like, also, she'd be a minority owner if this happens, but also she'd, you know, be, I think, one of the only women in color that has like part ownership in a professional team. So that's really important to her. Mm-hmm. Women entrepreneurship is really important to her, and she speaks about that all the time. But we are so lucky to have both of them involved, really. They've been amazing, and we're looking forward to working with them more. We're going to be up at Russell's Celebrity Golf Tournament up in Washington in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to playing a part in that. And yeah, it should be a good time.
Well, excellent. Where's the Diamond Project going from here? I mean, they've mm-hmm. got a lot of things going on this summer. I know that they're going to be out with the Portland Pickles here mm-hmm. soon.
It's on Father's Day.
Yeah, I'm assuming there's a lot of other events, like you just mentioned, like golf up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I know that last year they did, you know, Mike went down to some of the duck games.
Yeah, I went to the duck games. Oh, Mike went to the beaver games. I'm holding it up for the ducks because... the Beavers are amazing, and they've had so much success with baseball, and we have a lot of participants from Corvallis, and we're mm-hmm. very thankful for that. But I've got to hold it down for the Ducks. So when you see the van in Corvallis, it's probably Mike, mm-hmm. and then me. I'll take that down to Eugene. That's a lot of fun.
So let's throw this at you. Yeah. Another Ask Jen a question. If you could take any player professionally or collegiately, whatever, that's from the state of Oregon to start a team around, who would that be?
Ooh, collegially?
Collegially or professionally?
I would take Adley.
Yeah, Adley. Well, yeah.
Of course, he makes a lot of sense.
PDP's own Darwin Barney.
Yeah, Darwin. Hey, I could see Darwin coming out of retirement and playing. You never know. Honestly, he throws it around sometimes, and uh-huh. I think he should. I think he would have to get a shoulder operation.
He could be like Roger Dorn and just take a pitch.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Totally.
Sorry if you're listening.
No, Darwin's awesome. He's great, too. He's been such a fantastic leader. Yeah, let's take Adley Rushman.
Yeah,
why not? I mean,
why not? Yeah, let's sign him here, you know, a couple years and get him over here.
I like... Nolan Arenado from Colorado as well, mm-hmm. and Matt Chapman, got to represent the A's. Mm-hmm.
There's so much talent in this area. Mm-hmm. It would be great to be able to pull in some of that talent, whether it be past, current, or maybe even future. Yeah, like for sure. When we get a team here, because mm-hmm. you know, I really have the passion, and I think, you know, at some point we're going to get that team, whether it be expansion or whether it be relocation. I mean, there's been tons of talk about that, and I know we talked about Mike about like that expansion relocation. Mm-hmm. Where do we kind of stand with that at this point in time? Is it just kind of still up in the air?
What we're trying to do right now is to make sure that we're like. In the best position possible for when the time comes, because mm-hmm. we know it's going to. The commissioner has said over and over again that the A's and Rays need to figure out their ballpark situations, and then we'll talk expansion. Mm-hmm. We're rooting for the A's and the Rays to do that. We're rooting for them to figure it out quickly. Mm-hmm. but if they don't, they could be relocated. Yeah. So obviously relocation would be less expensive and quicker. But it'd be so fun to start our own team and franchise as well. So,
essentially starting from the ground up. Yeah. You know, I know I think we're like the only West Coast city that's vying for a team, and there's like East Coast cities that mm-hmm. you know, got Montreal, you have Nashville, I think Charlotte maybe mm-hmm. also another one. Mm-hmm. So there's really interesting that the West Coast, Portland's the only city. And just how far ahead that Portland is. And you got really great leadership backing this up. Tell us a little bit about Craig. I mean, I've passed him, you know, here and there, had some conversations. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about like what he's like to work with.
Well, Craig is a fantastic leader, first and foremost, and he's a great person. Mm-hmm. And so we're really lucky to have him at the top running the show. I think a lot of people know he's a former Nike exec. He was at Nike for a long time. He ran Nike Asia, and he came back and ran the cleated division mm-hmm. with Nike. And it was when he was running the cleated division, he got to know the commissioner for Major League Baseball, Robert Manfred, pretty well. And based off that relationships and conversations that they've had. That's why he started the Portland Diamond Project, mm-hmm. because he got to know him and knows how, you know, how convincing he is that he wants to expand to 32 teams. And mm-hmm. so Craig is a huge baseball fan, always has been. It's just in his blood and his DNA. And so, you know, he knows how badly the commissioner is wanting to expand to 32 teams, and he's a progressive, and so that's why Craig, mm-hmm. you know, started this group. So, yeah, it's been great to work with Craig, and it's truly an honor.
Yeah, and we had Mike on the show too, Mike Barrett, that is, and you know, Blazer Mike, my most people know him by, but you know, we were over at his house,
yeah.
did a recording with him, and it was just, you know, lovely to be, you know, in his presence, and just that I guess that drive that he had, the passion, yeah. the excitement mm-hmm. that he has for that. You know, I got to imagine it's been really fun working with him also, and just that you know, you being media people,
totally,
just that knowledge.
Yeah.
Have you shared just kind of like war stories with one another about things?
Oh gosh, I mean, we talk about that stuff, you know, all the time. I cover the Blazers for only like 3 years while I was at the Oregonian, so obviously he was there for a long time. But mm-hmm. it's so interesting to hear his perspective on, you know, oh gosh, he has so many stories. Like, we'll be on road trips together, or whether it be Corvallis or whatever, and he can just go on and on and on. So it's really you got to soak it all in like a sponge when you're around Mike. So
yeah,
it's fun.
So you probably have learned like you know something from him.
Oh gosh, yeah, I learned.
What's
from
one
him
thing
every
that
day.
You've learned from him, like, you know, just about media and,
yeah.
and how to handle it?
One thing I really admire about him is, you know, how he treats people. You know, he's mm-hmm. really personable. He really cares. And even his professional relationships, he puts a lot of time into that, where, you know, he could easily blow someone off, but he doesn't. Mike really cares, and he's really mm-hmm. genuine. And so that's something yeah. I really admire
I'd
about
say
him.
He gave us the time of day just to come on.
No,
and,
well, of course. But
well,
Mike
it.
Is just a really good person. And
yeah.
He's
a great character, too.
It is. And I know it was really hard with what happened with him with the Blazers, but, you know, I look at it at the bright side, like, what if Mike Barrett was a key contributor in bringing Major League Baseball to Portland? Mm-hmm. Like, what a great gift he could give to the city.
Yeah.
After he's given us so much, too.
Exactly.
So many memories.
And just in using everything that he's learned and, mm-hmm. and up to this point, and just putting that time and effort into the project has just been great. So what's been one fun thing that you like that sticks out to you the most about what you've done since coming aboard with the project?
Yeah, I would say both hosting PDP Day here. That was really fun. I believe that was in April, and it was just a big celebration of our mm-hmm. Anniversary of the Portland Diamond Project. We had John Canzano's radio show out here. And we had Olympia Provisions and Breakside Brewery, and it was just a huge party, and, you know, launched some new merchandise, as well as the Radiothon that we did with 1080 mm-hmm. The Fan. They broadcasted here live for 9 hours.
Yeah.
I was here from like 4:30 in the morning to 8 p.m. at night, and those were both really rewarding experiences. As well as we just granted a wish recently with Baseball Zim for Make-A-Wish.
This is your second one that you mm-hmm. helped be involved
yeah.
with.
Yeah. I was there for the first one, and that was just so amazing. I would be lying if I said I didn't, like, shed a tear. We're sending a kid to the All-Star Game. That's his dream. That was mm-hmm. his wish. And just to be a part of that and see how emotional he was and grateful and it's things like that that just, you know, make all this so worth it, you know, mm-hmm. just giving back.
So a couple more questions, and then, you know, we'll let you go. Looking at the drawings of the stadium.
Oh, yeah, the renderings.
The renderings
amazing?
Of these, you know, these stadiums, they're amazing. As I talked about earlier, because I brought up the fact of, like, going to Yankee Stadium and these stadiums being, they're unique to the area. What do you think is one thing, if you could add anything to the rendering, to the stadium itself, to make it unique to this area, what would it be?
Mm-hmm. So we have a bike tailgating area, which is interesting. And, like, and you've seen some of these renderings in these mm-hmm. suites up here, that there's just, they have these beer tabs and that are really nice too. I'm a wine girl, and I think having an S component of that with, you know, some good Pinots from the Willamette Valley, that'd be nice.
from around the area.
Yeah, from the, yeah. Oh, all local, totally. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, Portland is like the king of food and beverages. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got to just totally go out, all out on that.
Yeah. Speaking of food, I had talked to Mike. I was like, yeah. if I could have one component to the stadium, would make a food. I said it'd make a food cart area.
Yeah.
Alley.
And we've totally talked about that.
And Dave told me, he's like, well, what would you do? Would you have it like people constantly there, or would you have it changing? I said it'd be awesome to have it like changing, yeah. or if you had like this.
That's
people
coming
in.
That's definitely been discussed.
Yeah. So I think it'd be neat to have like food cart alley. Yeah. Is what I said.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the other kind of neat thing would be to like in center field. I know in Pittsburgh they have a waterfall, uh-huh. but putting something similar to a waterfall with like trees, maybe like some different animals. And I think one thing to be make it even more unique to you know, to give back to like the history of Portland is maybe have like salmon jumping and maybe have some like lamprey coming up.
Honestly, it seems a little far out there, but honestly, those things have been talked about. We have a stack of renderings about this high.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
It's all, you know, and it's been fun to work with Darwin Barney on this too. He's a consultant and investor. He's mm-hmm. played in every ballpark. So it's just been really interesting to get feedback from him to see what works, what doesn't, you know, and what he likes, what players don't mm-hmm. like. And that's been really valuable as well.
Awesome. Two more questions. Mm-hmm. What's the feeling going to be like when you walk into the stadium for the first time to watch the first home game?
I've thought about that so much. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be just pure joy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the best thing ever. I don't know. I don't think there's anything better than that, honestly. Just to look at everyone's faces mm-hmm. and, you know, saying that we did this. And it's a total team effort. And so that's the best part about it all, you know. Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing.
To me, it's like that. If you think about that movie in, I think, the early 90s, Rookie of the Year, yeah. where the kid, Henry Rollingardner, like, mm-hmm. walks into the field with his buddies and just, like, at Wrigley, I believe it was, and just seeing how excited he was. That's kind of, like,
totally.
One of the things that I feel like, just walking in there. Gosh. It's going to be great to bring my children and showing that experience.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a hot ticket opening day.
It is. So who do you think would be throwing out the first pitch up in a day?
Oh, it's funny. Someone asked Russell that last week on our Q&A, and Russell was like, I'd be honored to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure he's in the running.
If Mike does it with his, you know, he's got that shoulder issue there going on. Is he throwing like 65 to 70 across
Mike
the plate?
I haven't seen Mike throw a baseball, so that's TBD. But he did play for the Beavers back in the day. Maybe we'll have something where a bunch of people will throw out a first pitch where they're all lined up.
It's kind of like the old shovel thing where everybody gets in and just like throws it. Just the involvement. Awesome. Last question, and just more of, you know, I know everybody probably knows by this time about where to go for Portland Diamond Project, but I just want to reiterate, like, what could they do to get to Portland Diamond Project stuff? Like, mm-hmm. I know there's always people like, hey, where can I get that jersey? Just kind of, so just fill us in a little bit before we end.
Well, our website, as I mentioned before, is portlanddiamondproject.com. You can always go there and buy our merchandise, sign the petition, look for the latest updates. We have all the latest news articles. You can read about our leadership team. And just a lot of, and look at, you know, our ballpark renderings. We're also here right now in the clubhouse. We're located on 1919 Southwest Morrison Street in downtown Portland. We're right across from Providence Park, where the Thorns and the Timbers play. We're open here Wednesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you want to come on in, and we have all of our latest and greatest merchandise too. Won't have to pay shipping as well if you take that route. And we're also on Facebook, the Portland Diamond Project, and Twitter, Portland Diamond Project, and Instagram, I think it's PDX Project.
You can probably just look it up using the
search
tool.
Just search the, exactly.
So you're everywhere. I mean,
we are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, we are everywhere. It's good, though.
It is great. Thank you so much for, you know, taking time to spend here with us on the podcast. and we really appreciate it. You know, just like them, you can find us also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just search Diamonds and Roses Podcast. We're here just bringing you great quality content week in, week out. And once again, this is our 50th episode. We're really, really happy. We're going to bring you some great quality content, more episodes this summer. We're going to have pumping a bunch out. Just to fill you in, we're going to actually be up at the Ridgefield Athletic Sports Complex pretty soon. We're going to be hanging out with some of the Ridgefield Raptors, talking and interviewing them. We got another special episode that we got recording here really soon that we're going to get out shortly. And the hint on that would be Oregon State baseball. So I'll leave you with that. But anyways, I'm Ben, and this will do it for this episode. Thank you so much, and you have a great day wherever you are at. Peace out.